We're going to talk today about the wisdom of God, God's incredible wisdom, and how He wants to pass His wisdom, His knowledge, from His mind to your mind. That's the understanding, the wisdom of how things work. What gives me a right to believe, what gives me a right to have faith for miracles and the impossible. Most of the church world uses the idea that the Word of God says it, therefore I stand on that, and that is their form of believing. And that's a very acceptable way to begin. The Word of God is truth. It will not lie. So if you see things in the Word of God, promises, then they're for you. And you can stand on those promises. That is the beginning of believing. I'm believing that the Word of God is true, and I won't accept anything else. So when the Word of God says you should be holy, then you need to press into holiness. Even though it may not feel like it, you can trust the Word of God to be true. When the Word of God says that by His stripes you were healed, you can trust that the price for your healing has already been paid for. So one of the sayings is, the Word of God says it, I believe it, and that's that. That settles it. Which is a good start, but how many have gone down that path and not seen the results come to pass? The promise of believing, that is, if you believe something in your heart and speak it, then it will happen. So even though people are saying, I'm believing, if you really believed it and you spoke it, it would come to pass instantly. That's the finished work of believing. So the beginning is knowing what's possible, but then how do we get from knowing what's possible to where we can find the authority in ourselves to receive the promise of God, which takes faith. And so when God shares wisdom with you, it's the not just the promise, it's the understanding, the knowledge of how you have a right to where you're not just believing. That's a better word for many church folk are, I'm hoping the Word of God comes true. Believing, if you believe it, the moment you speak it, it would come to pass. So we want to know, how do I work on my believing? How do I make my believing go from a promise to reality? Well, the key is knowing the knowledge and wisdom of God. So we're going to talk about that today. We're in the middle of talking about the transformation. How is it that it works when God teaches you something that it becomes where you live there? Many of us who pray in tongues have learned that you pray in tongues and pray in tongues, you don't feel different, but eventually you start to think differently. You know things, you don't know why you know it, but you know something's right and something's wrong. Well, that is the knowledge of God taking root in your inner man and beginning to disrupt the knowledge of the outward man. So let's just start here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to see how the Holy Spirit is the source of the knowledge of God for your inner man. There's a source of knowledge about God that's human wisdom, that is found in the carnal mind, the natural mind of a believer. So when you're born again, your inner man came to life. You received the new nature. It brought to life your inner man. And in that inner man is a mind, a place that holds the knowledge of God, a heart, a place of emotions that can love like Jesus loved, and desire, a desire to do the will of God, a desire to receive the truth from God. But your outward man was left in death, left in darkness, meaning you also have a source of knowledge. That's your natural mind, your fleshly mind, that holds man-made ideas about God, about how God operates. And that's from the carnal mind. And many believers never get out of knowing God through their carnal mind. And really, that's what he's correcting in 1 Corinthians. But let's just get a glimpse of this. Verse 26, chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, Not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. For God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. The truth is that promotion from God is found in a different path than promotion from man. And if you're in a carnal church, then you've got to be promoted by men by offering them man's approval. But God's approval comes from a different path, and that is from Him in you being established in you. Verse 28 again, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. This would be the heart of 1 Corinthians, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Much of the church in 1 Corinthians was established by carnal men, born-again people operating out of their carnality, operating out of their outward man, learning God, experiencing God, feeling God, being used of God through their carnal outward man. While their inner man remained like a baby, their focus was no longer on the inner man, on developing that inner man. And so their thinking was all carnal. And Paul saying that no flesh should glory in the presence of God, that God doesn't want us establishing His church through our natural ability, talent, through the works of man. He wants to establish the church of the work of God that's in you. That's why I say the motto for the carnal church is, what can we do for God? What can we do in the name of God? Where the motto to the spiritual people, the spiritual church, is, what can God do through me? Verse 30, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So the work of the church is not to be us rallying together, doing good things for God. The work of the church is to bring Jesus forth in us so that through Him, God could establish His work on this earth. Chapter 2, verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimonies of God. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. So you see, the human wisdom that has crept into the church wasn't about how to, they weren't having math classes in Sunday school, and they weren't teaching you how to do woodwork in the Sunday school. It wasn't human wisdom about human things in this world. It was human wisdom of God, trying to comprehend God through your natural mind, trying to comprehend the things of God through your natural mind. And that's the danger of the church world today. A lot of people preaching, teaching out of their carnal understanding, because they're doing what the First Corinthians church did. They got busy doing things for God, but didn't develop that inner man. Let me just show you. I'll come back here. In chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So these aren't babes in Christ like they just got born again and they're babies in Christ. No, these are men and women who operated by the gifts of the Spirit, had built a church, had rallied the church, were leading the church. But yet, after years of serving God, their inner man remained like a baby, undeveloped, unnurtured, stayed the same status, well, they got more popular, more busy, seeing God work upon them through his giftings. What a shame to live your life serving God, doing your best, and because you never were taught or never were hungry enough, your inner man, the Christ in you, remains like a baby, meaning that God can't do through you what he wants to. You are qualifying for this verse, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And it says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. I remember one time I was invited to go do television up in Canada, and it was, you know, the international station up there, and I was really excited. And I said, God, I'm so excited. You've seen my faithfulness. You're honoring my faithfulness, and you are promoting me because I've been faithful. And the Lord corrected me really quickly and said, No, I'm not promoting you because of your faithfulness. He said, you have enough of my truth in you that I want to promote that truth around this nation. And it wasn't me he was promoting. It was him in me. His wisdom in me was what he was promoting. If you want to see your calling come forward, then fill your inner man, the mind of the Spirit, which holds the wisdom from God, the knowledge that comes from God's mind. Fill it up with God's knowledge, and you'll find that he will begin to promote that and bring your ministry, your calling forward. He's not bringing you forward. He's bringing himself forward, and you and I get to go along for the ride. But these preachers were carnal preachers using human wisdom. Again, they weren't doing math class and social studies and history lessons, geography. No, they were teaching about God through their human understanding because they stopped focusing on developing that inner man's knowledge. And what God wants to bring forward is not your thinking or my thinking or your opinion. It is the truth of Christ in us. And many people read their Bible and they interpret it through their natural understanding. And they may get some things right, but they may get a lot of things wrong. But when you read that Bible, your inner man also receives it. And so that's why Pastor Dave always taught us, don't look through your Bible for sermons. Don't try to learn anything from reading it. But just read it. Read a book 50 times. And what will happen was revelation will come. Don't try to make revelation. Let it come to you. And that's a beautiful picture of the transfer of knowledge. That you read the Bible that way. You don't try to find a sermon or find an opinion or prove anything. You just fill your inner man with that word of God. And the outer man will always try to say, I understand it now. I have the answer. That's human wisdom, carnal thinking about God. And it will put pieces together that make sense to the carnal man, but not to the inner man. Let me add here. The outward man is not born again. Your outward mind is not saved. It's left in its meat head condition. And it won't be saved until the trumpet sounds. And until then, you have to deny it, resist it, and mortify it, the deeds of the body. And so the natural man is not born again, but your inner man is. God is the father of your spirit, the inner man, but he's not the father of your flesh, the outward man. The outward man only understands God like an unsaved man would. An unsaved man, if you go to the bar on a Saturday night, you'll find lots of good old boys that are getting drunk and chasing women and smoking cigarettes and living the life of the world. And we'd say, yeah, that's a carnal man right there, not even born again. He's not born again. He's living the world. Sinners sin. That's why we call them sinners. And we say, yeah, that's a good old sinner right there. But yet if I go to the mountains of Tibet, I'll find a man there who's living as a monk, who's not born again, who's worshiping a pretend god that doesn't exist. And that man will dedicate his life. He'll shave his head. Sometimes they'll swear to silence. They'll read their false scriptures, make their chants, live in poverty and feed the poor, do great works, and worship their false god with all their heart. Some men blow themselves up in the name of their god, but they're not born again. So that tells me that the carnal man loves religion as much as it loves being in the bar on a Saturday night. They're both carnal. That religious man who's doing all those good works is still as carnal and unsaved as the guy in the bar chasing women. They're both carnal. The outward man can pursue drunkenness and pornography and all kinds of crazy things, but also it can pursue religion. So if you are living out of your outward man's understanding, and the picture that I had, the Lord gave me, was that little girl that was born again, but he said to me, I didn't tell my church to conform into Christianity. I told them to transform. And I saw that picture of two bodies, and she was like a little glowing dot, that ball, that transformation was her living, thinking, feeling, serving God through her natural body. But then as transformation took place, she leapt over and traveled over, transformed over to her inner man, where she was able to think, feel, and see God through her inner man. And that is the picture of transformation the Lord showed me, was it's not instant, it's a process. And so you fill up that inner man with the knowledge of God through praying in tongues, through reading the Word of God. You begin to develop the emotions of Christ that get formed in you as you worship God. And then as that happens, there's a confrontation. As the knowledge builds up in the inner man, the Holy Spirit will take it and knock on the door to the outward man. And you hear this little knock. And the inner man and the Holy Spirit standing right behind them. The inner man says, tell him. And the inner man says, hey, outward mind, those ideas you have about God, they're wrong. That's human wisdom, and the human mind can never comprehend a spiritual truth. And so when there's enough knowledge and understanding built up in that inner man, in the spiritual man, then it will knock on the door to the outward man's mind and say, buddy, you got it wrong. That's not right. That revelation is wrong. That's human wisdom about God. And then you get to decide in that moment, who do I believe? Well, I'm going to believe the inner man. And then that is a mortification. You killed a thought of the outward man, a reasoning, a thought, an idea about God and Christianity, about yourself. You killed it. That is the picture of transformation. And that's why when you pray in tongues for 2 hours, you think, well, I didn't learn anything. I just spent 2 hours praying tongues, and I didn't learn a thing. Boy, I don't know if it's working. It's working, but it takes time, because the inner man has to build up in that knowledge and learn and build a case against the outward man. And when that's done, that's when the transformation happens. It happens like that with your mind, also with your emotions, and your desires. And we're going to get into all of that. And I hope you can learn this, because it really encourages me to keep praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is the source of God's knowledge. Praying in tongues is the source of God's knowledge. Not even the Word of God. Please don't get mad at me. The Word of God can be misinterpreted by your human mind, your carnal mind, and can filter it and put it together in pieces that make complete sense to the earthly, natural, carnal, meathead mind, and say, that's God. But understand your outward man is not born again. Your inner man is born again. So there's a monk out there who's not saved, not born again, but given his whole life to serve a religion, because that feeds the carnal man. The carnal man understands religion. It makes sense to it. If I do this, God does that. That's the understanding of religion. I do something good for God, and God will give me good. If I do something bad, He will give me bad. And so that is the understanding of carnality in the church. What can I do for God so He will bless me? Think of almost every TV preacher in the offering. Give $1,000 and God will bless you with abundance. Give an offering and God will multiply it and give it to you back. There's an incentive in there that if I do this, God will do that. Well, that is the carnal human wisdom about God that Paul is correcting them about. You're understanding God through your human wisdom. The carnal man, your outward body and its mind, emotions, and desires, pursues a relationship with God like an unsaved man does. I need to give God an offering. I need to give God something so He will reciprocate and give me good things back. And so when your outward man is in church, it will filter everything that's taught through that understanding. It's like the prophets of Baal. And Elijah had the showdown. And they said, well, I'll tell you what, we'll have a showdown. And we'll put some wood and some water around it. And let's see whose God will burn up the fire from heaven. And he said, you guys go first. And the prophets of Baal were calling out to him, and it didn't work. And Elijah made fun of him. Maybe he's having a nap. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe you need to get a little louder. And they began to cut themselves and offer things, trying to get their God's attention, because that is how the natural man experiences God. Is I need to do something good for God for Him to give attention to me. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, don't pray like the heathens do, using repetitive words, trying to get God's attention. You have a Father who knows you have a need before you even know it. So your outward man, if you live in that understanding, if you haven't transformed, your understanding of God, your relationship with God is built on what can I do for God? And that's why it's like a drug that a lot of churches sell, and I call it the drug of purpose. And let me give you a purpose. Let me give you something to offer God so you feel safe. Oh, I'm preaching now. I didn't mean to get into this, but we're here, so let's keep going. Purpose is a drug for the carnal man, for the human wisdom in a believer. Let me give you something, a purpose, so you would feel valuable, important to God, so He won't get rid of you. Purpose makes you feel good about yourself. Purpose is a way of you loving yourself through loving God. And so it's like a drug where people will go all week and they begin to feel a little insecure about them and God. Maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe God doesn't like me. Maybe I'm not worthy of receiving the blessings of God. And so they attend a service and they're offered purpose. Do something for God. And I believe in serving God. I believe in giving your life and your money and your time to God, but not to earn value. It's because you are valuable. Is to learn that we are servants. We never go beyond being a servant in the kingdom of God. When you hear purpose, it's like, I need to be purposeful. My life needs to have value. I need to say, God, I'm doing this for you. And so therefore, I'm giving to you as an offering. I led 5 people to the Lord. I prayed for this many people. I read the Bible. I did all these good works for you. I shared the gospel. I fed the poor. So I'm going to offer these things to you so you will reciprocate and bless me. And so your outward man never feels comfortable in God's presence unless it has something good to offer God. Whereas your inner man is born of God, it's a child of God. If you're able to listen to your spirit man and listen to your inner man, you'll find that your inner man's at peace with God because you are a child of God. The inner man knows how to receive from God as an heir, that I don't deserve this. I receive it because you are my Father and you love me and you want to see me blessed. You want to see me prosperous and healed. So the inner understanding of the inner man is built on relationship, a child to a father, where the understanding to the outward man is I have to do something to receive something. And you have a never-ending cycle of purpose and doing and giving. And you can live your whole life. And that inner man remains like a baby. The understanding of the inner man's like a newborn baby because you didn't invest into it. Well, God's heart is for us to learn and grow and mature in His knowledge. And I hope you can see this, that the inner man has a mind of the Spirit that only desires to hold the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God about him and about you. That's all it wants to build. It doesn't care about, you know, how to tie your shoes, you might say, or that kind of knowledge. It cares about the knowledge of God. It is the holder of that knowledge. It is incredible. And trying to hold the knowledge of God in your carnal thinking, in your outward man's mind, is like putting up a fence with a chain link fence, you know, with those fence with the big holes in it that keeps the dog out, and trying to keep the mosquitoes out of your brain. You're trying to hold in the knowledge of God with a net that cannot hold that quality of truth. But you see that human wisdom struggling to understand spiritual truths. And it can't. It'll always get it wrong. Maybe get some things right, but it'll always get it wrong. You'll get a lot of things wrong because it's not made for that. Carnal mind is made for human wisdom. The born-again spiritual man's mind of the Spirit is made for godly wisdom. And that's why when the Holy Spirit teaches you, the Holy Spirit is your main source. So let me be more specific. Praying in tongues is the main source of God passing His knowledge to your place of holding His knowledge, your spiritual mind. That is His main system. If you're a carnal believer who's believing to hear the Holy Spirit, you're limiting Him when you say, well, Holy Spirit, share with me things today. And you don't pray in tongues. And you're limiting Him to speak from the outside to your carnal mind. And He'll say, 1 + 1 = 2. Repeat it again. 1 + You never get past first grade because you're limiting Him to trying to teach your meathead mind when you have a mind of the Spirit there that's ready to download truth at a high rate of speed just by praying in tongues. Let's go over to chapter 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Those mysteries we can read about in chapter 2. I'm going to go back again, but we'll go to 1 Corinthians 2. And I pray you can understand this. Verse 6, chapter 2. Well, I shall start in verse 4. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, talking about maturity of their inner man. Remember, he calls them babes, spiritual babies. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, not of the rulers of this age who are come to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory. Paul saying, I didn't speak to you in wisdom, human wisdom, or persuasive words. I demonstrated the power of God. But I do speak wisdom to those who are mature, but I can't speak it to you because you are immature. And he says that this wisdom is in a mystery. So the wisdom of God equals mystery. If you're taking notes, you should write that down. The wisdom of God equals mystery. Whenever you see the word mystery, that is talking about the wisdom of God that comes to you through praying in tongues. For time's sake, let's jump down to verse 10. But God has revealed them, these mysteries, to us through His Spirit. That is His Spirit in us. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what a man knows, the things of a man, except the spirit of the man, which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And he's saying that God gave you a new man, a new nature and a new man, so that you can understand these mysteries that come from God. An unsaved man or a carnal man, carnal believer, will never understand these mysteries. These things we speak, verse 13. Not with words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. And then in chapter 3 he says, you are not being spiritual. Your spirit man's like a baby. You haven't been focusing on praying in tongues, not in private prayer language that builds the mysteries and revelations of God. Now, let's go back to chapter 14. So Paul's saying, we speak a mystery. We teach mysteries. What is the source of mysteries? Is it from reading the Word of God? That can be, but if you interpret it through your carnal mind, you're going to get it wrong. The only way to build the mysteries of God, the wisdom that comes from the Holy Ghost, is praying in tongues. Otherwise, you limit Him to speaking on the outside of you, trying to teach you things. And it'll be very slow. You probably never get past first grade. God wants to fill your spiritual man's mind with His mysteries and ancient truths and wisdom of why you have a right, how you can see yourselves the way He sees you. And then from there, that will be the challenge against the natural man's thinking. Many people never transform. They shape their life to look like Jesus. The Bible says I should act this way, so I'm going to act this way. But if they build up that inner man, they won't have to act it. They'll become it. Verse 2, chapter 14. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. And Pastor Dave Roberson will always say, what? Speak mysteries? Or what mystery am I speaking to surprise God with? When I pray in tongues, am I speaking mysteries for God to hear? No, those mysteries are for my understanding, for me to learn. But yet I prayed in tongues for 2 hours. Where did that wisdom go? I don't understand. I prayed in tongues for 2 hours. I don't know anything more. But your inner man was full. The reason you pray in tongues is to transfer the mind of the Holy Spirit's knowledge into your spiritual mind, not your natural intellect, your spiritual intellect. Verse 2 again. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhort, and comfort to man. So that is your personal prayer language versus prophesying in a group. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. And what he's saying here is God wants to edify you with his knowledge. So from that edification, he can use you to edify the church. This is passing of knowledge. Verse 5, and I wish you all spoke with tongues even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Meaning that in the service, your prayer language, praying in your prayer language, does not edify anyone but yourself. I wish in a group setting you would prophesy, not speak in your personal prayer language. There is a gift of tongues, which always has an interpreter. Verse 6, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? So all of these ministry, listen, all the ministry that God wants to do in groups, prophesying, teaching, revelation, by knowledge, the source of the truth to teach the people needs to come from the Holy Spirit edifying you first. He doesn't want you edifying the world, the church, with your opinion, with your and I ideas of what's success. He only wants his thoughts taught in the church. Verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding or intellect is unfruitful. So that's him telling you when you pray in tongues, it's your inner man that prays, your outward man, the carnal mind, the human wisdom holder, is unfruitful. He doesn't speak to your natural mind when you pray in tongues. He speaks to your spiritual mind and fills it full intellect of the spiritual wisdom and truth of the Holy Spirit. Because your spiritual man is born of God. It is as righteous as God is righteous, as holy as God is holy. That inner man is perfect, but it's immature. It desires to learn, but its learning place, his teacher of your inner man, is the Holy Spirit. Let's go down here. Verse 18. Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. And if you study this, he's really saying, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you combined. So if I took everyone in the church and combined how much you prayed in your personal prayer language, I, Paul, pray in tongues more than the whole group of you combined. That's what he's saying here. Now, if you think about that, let's say that Paul was a really extreme tongue talker and he prayed in tongues for 8 hours a day and, you know, was very, very disciplined. That meant that if you had a church of 240 people and you calculated the entirety of their time that they prayed in tongues, that Paul is saying, for a group of 240, I don't know how big the church was, but we'll just say the church was 240 people that helped me to calculate it. Then Paul is saying, I'm praying in tongues 8 hours a day, and you're praying in tongues less than 2 minutes a day. See, that's how sorry they were of following his teachings of the importance of praying in tongues. They were being used in the gifts. They were walking in miracles and signs and wonders and prophesying, and God was working upon them to do these things. But Paul says, you're doing this in human wisdom. You're a bunch of carnal, spiritual babies. You're following God through your outward man, because if I'm praying 8 hours a day, I can calculate all of you, and you're only praying less than 2 minutes a day. No wonder why you're carnal. No wonder why your spirit man's still a baby. Because the source of growing up and maturing that inner man, the source of revelation, knowledge, wisdom from God that goes into your inner man, you've neglected it. You got so busy doing things for God, watching God work, ministering to each other, you've forgotten about the most important ministry, the Holy Spirit ministering to you through praying in tongues. We have to get the church back on the right foundation. I know the church can seem a little more ridiculous now than times past. It might be. But there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of hungry people. The best thing about being in a carnal church system is that you find out it fails. You find out it doesn't have the power to really rescue you. For those who are really dysfunctional or broken, they find no hope in a carnal church. But they'll be hungry for answers. And the Holy Spirit is your answer. Just by praying in tongues, He takes His knowledge and He passes it over to your spiritual man's mind. And as that edification takes place, a case is built, an understanding is built. And then there is a showdown, the spirit against the flesh, the inner man's mind against the outward man's mind. Godly wisdom versus human wisdom about God. And when that happens, it's a beautiful thing, because now you're not changing your thinking. You're changing where you think from. If you can do that once, you can do it twice. If you can do it in one area, you can do it in 1,000 areas. This is the path of transformation. Thank you again for spending time with me. I really appreciate you more than you know, and honored that you would listen to me, and I'll see you again soon. God bless you.